If you'd like to turn to the book of Psalms, I'm going to be looking at two particular psalms this morning. And the first is a very well-known psalm, probably the best-known psalm, maybe even the best-known part of Scripture. It's Psalm 23. I'm only going to look really at one particular verse there, but I will read the whole of Psalm 23, because it's only six verses. So if you've got your Bible there, you can probably recite it along with me at home. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we thank the Lord and bless his name for his wonderful word. So the Lord is my shepherd, a psalm of David. And I know it's been a psalm of great comfort to many, especially in the times we're living in, that we're reminded in verse 4, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because God is with us and God protects us and he comforts us and he strengthens us. But it's not particularly that verse I want to concentrate on. I want to concentrate on part of verse 5. David has said that even in the presence of his enemies, God has prepared a table for him. And then he says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." And I really want to think about the fact that David is praising God for the abundance that God provides. Yes, there's lots in this psalm to talk about protection and comfort, but I want to talk about God's provision and the abundance that God provides for his children. So here we find David praising God for an abundance that has been provided for him. His cup runs over. And let's not think, oh, what a waste. It's not so much about the fact that it's a waste. There's, you know, liquid flowing down from the goblet or the cup. It's the fact that there's so much that what David has got to hold the provision of God is not enough for what God is willing to give him, to pour out on him. And I think for us as Christians, we need to, as it were, have big vessels to contain the provision of God. Because what God wants to provide for us is so much more beyond what we can think or imagine. And sometimes we come to God and we've got our little cup and we're saying, "Well, God, will you fill me with this up?" And God is saying, "Where's the big bucket to fill? I want to bless you and bless you and bless you. Don't be like David, who just had that goblet that indeed the revision ran over the cup. My cup runs over." And in verse 6 then he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." As he reflects on the goodness of God, as he reflects on the provision of God for him, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me at all times, all the days of my life." And I believe we can take that word and we can say, "Father, you will ensure that goodness and your mercy will follow me, will be with me all the days of our lives. And Lord, you provide for me." And in verse 5, we look there, the cup runs over, the provision is so great. And he says, "You anoint my head with oil." Now, there's a number of times when oil is used in the Bible for anointing. You would anoint a king, you would anoint a priest, and you'd use oil, particular oil for that. But those anointings are not what David is referring to. Because let's have the context of that verse. He says that God has prepared a table for me, even in the presence of my enemies. So what do we have here is a picture of, if you like, hospitality. Hospitality. And what David is saying is that God has anointed his head with a perfumed oil of hospitality. We might remember the story when Jesus visited a house and a woman came and broke the vessel and poured out the perfume and washed Jesus' feet and dried it with her hair. It's a sign of hospitality, a sign of welcome, a sign of favour that the guest has come in and is being highly favoured by the person receiving. And so David is saying, where you have provided for me, God, my head has been anointed with oil, that perfumed oil, an anointing not of service, as in the king or a priest, but an anointing of favour. And so David recognised that the favour of God was upon his life. And the question is, do we recognise that God's favour is resting on us? Because if we are the children of the living God, we should have that attitude that says, I am highly favoured by God. He looks on me with favour. He looks at me with blessing and forgiveness and mercy. I came across a reading from a poet called George Herbert, who was a great poet, but also a great Christian from a few hundred years ago. And he said this, "Thou hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart." He recognised, George Herbert recognised just how much God had given to him, but he wanted to ensure that he had a heart that recognised God's goodness and had that attitude of gratitude. That attitude of gratitude that is so important for us as believers. That we don't take the blessings of God for granted, but actually come back with thanksgiving. So many times we are encouraged in the Psalms, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." We're told to bring our supplications to God with thanksgiving in our hearts and thanksgiving from our lips. And that attitude is so important. And I believe that as David says, his cup runs over, the provision of God for him ran over. One of the things that that cup was filled with is the love of God. The love that comes from God. God's love is so poured out upon his children. It overflows the cup. We cannot contain all the love that God has for us. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? That the love of God for you is far more immense than you can ever imagine. You may be loved by people. You may be loved by parents. You may be loved by a spouse. But the love that God has for you is greater than all of these loves. And that love will endure into eternity. As Paul tells us at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, that these things shall remain, and the greatest of these is love, the love of God. Let's think about that love of God. Let's think about the fact that this is a love that seeks us out. God is the one who sought you and sought me out. He looked for us. He searched for us. Jesus, in Luke's gospel, tells the people, he's in Zacchaeus' house. He's just had that amazing encounter with Zacchaeus up the tree. And Zacchaeus says, receive Jesus into his house. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because he, that's Zacchaeus, also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost. What was lost? You and I were lost. And Jesus has come into the world to seek and to save those who are lost, so that they might be found in the household of God. They might be found within the family of God. He sought us out, he sought and he saved us. Isn't that good news? That's good news that God stepped into your life. His love for you was so great that he sent his Son to earth to live and to die a cruel death upon the cross, so that we, you and I, could be forgiven, that you and I could have eternal life, you and I could be part of the wonderful family of God. Isn't that a wonderful love? That God sought us out. When we had no thought of God, God thought of us. The Bible tells us that even before creation, God chose those he loves. That's wonderful news. Wonderful news. Not only did he seek us out, he paid that price upon the cross. In John's Gospel, Jesus says about himself, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Who are the sheep? You and I are the sheep. And Jesus, the good shepherd, came and laid down his life for us, that we might have that relationship with the Father. Later in that chapter, in verse 27, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." That's good news. This love not only pursues us, seeks us out, it's a love that secures us. We're secure in the hands of Jesus. Those nail-pierced, nail-scarred hands of Jesus. As he says, "Give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." I want to tell you today, you are secure in the hands of Jesus. Nothing and no one, no enemy of your soul can snatch you from the hand of Almighty God. Praise his name forever. Paul, writing to the Romans, wrote these wonderful words in chapter 8. At the end of the chapter, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Surely our cup runs over. The love of God runs over, and we are secure in the hands of God. We're secure in the hands of God. That love that sought us out, now in that love he secures us. Have you got that assurance today that your life is secure in the hands of Jesus? I hope you do. If you don't, if you haven't got that assurance, may I assure you from God's word, if you give your life to Jesus, he will never cast you away. He will never forsake you. He will be with you forever. He is God with us. One of the names of God revealed in the Bible is Emmanuel. God is with us. And not only is he with us, he doesn't desert us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 and verse 8 tell us of the constancy of the lover of our souls, the constancy of God, that he will not leave, he will not forsake us. No matter what circumstances we're surrounded by, no matter what enemies might be around about us, our God has got us secure in his hand. We are secure as the possession of God. Just to remind you of those words from Deuteronomy, it says this. This is Moses speaking to Joshua and the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. And the Lord gives him words to say. And Moses says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And just to emphasize it, in two verses later, in verse 8, he says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. If God repeats a word twice as quickly as that, you know what? He expects us to take it on board. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Our cup runs over with the love of God. Our cup runs over with the security of knowing God. Our cup runs over with the providential care of God. No matter where we are, God provides for his people. Again, Jesus talking to his disciples says, why do you worry about what you will wear? God knows what you have need of. He clothes the lilies of the valley and the lilies of the field, which one day are here and next day gone, and yet God knows. He knows when even two sparrows fall from the sky. God knows, and he provides for us at all times. We are secure. Our cup runs over with the providential care of God. Now, I know that some of us have experienced great sorrow and difficulty in these days. As Christians, we are not immune from times of trouble. There are times when we just do not know what is going on in the world. We are not immune to pain. David, who wrote Psalm 23, he experienced anguish. He experienced pain. He experienced betrayal. He was a man who fought. He was a man who was pursued. He was hemmed in on all sides by enemies at times, and yet he could declare that God's with him and God provided for him and his cup runs over. You know what? In these days, our cup runs over too. That in times of trouble, God is our ever-present help. He is our ever-present comfort. How? Through his Holy Spirit, who strengthens us and who guides us, who is with us and within us. As believers, we believe that when we receive salvation in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is poured into our lives. The Holy Spirit is a work in our lives to change us, to change our old sinful nature into a sinless state where God can look upon us and say, you are righteous in my sight. Yes, we will fail. Yes, we will do wrong. But we have the opportunity now to say no to sin. We will not succumb to the sinful nature, because the Holy Spirit is there to help us, guide us, mold us, shape us into the children that God wants us to be. And so our cup runs over with the love of God. At the security that God brings. Our cup runs over with the providential care of God. The cup runs over with comfort in times of trouble. And our cup runs over with the assurance of our salvation. Not only has God loved us, he has said that you are saved from the consequences of sin. Jesus is preparing a place for us to be with him forever in heaven. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. When the disciples, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That wonderful promise of Jesus. Amen. That we have that deep conviction in our hearts that God is preparing a place for us. Amen. I give them, as I mentioned before in John 10 and 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Can't repeat that verse enough to give you the assurance of God's love. You know, There's a doctrine that many Christians can really catch hold of. It's a phrase that's used, the perseverance of the saints. It doesn't mean simply that we persevere and we press on. It means that we will endure to the end. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29 says this: "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." In other words, if God has called you, he doesn't uncall you. If he set his seal of love upon you, he does not take that seal away. If you are called by God, you've been brought into his kingdom and into his family, you are saved. You are safe. One of my personal favourite verses in the whole Bible is a verse that I was given when I was baptised in water a long, long time ago. And it's Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." If God has started a work in you, he will complete his work in you. God has a plan and he will work it out in your life. Hallelujah. This is good news that we can rely upon the word of God that tells us if God started a work in our lives, he will bring it to fruition. Hallelujah. This is good news. This is good news. Hallelujah. And God remains faithful to his promises even if we even if we wander, even if we start to lack in faith. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, "If we are faithless, he," that is God, "remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." God remains faithful even when our faith diminishes, even when our faith is tested. God remains faithful to his promises and to his people. If he's begun a good work in you, he will continue it. He will complete it. Hallelujah. Our cup runs over in so many ways. Well, how can we respond to that truth? How can we respond to what God has done? Well, I'd like us to turn, if we can, to another psalm. And this is Psalm 116. I'm not going to read all of the psalm, but I will refer to some of the verses in the second half, which I think are helpful to us to respond to what God has done in our lives. Again, with context, Psalm 116, we are told, is a thanksgiving for deliverance from death. So the writer is a man who has faced death, stared death in the eyes, and God has delivered him. And this psalm is a response to the goodness of God. Just as David wrote Psalm 23 as a response to the goodness of God that he's experienced in his life, so Psalm 116 is written by a man who faced death. He's been delivered by God, and now he begins to give thanks to God for God's graciousness and his love. I love the very first verse. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications." So in response to what God has done, how does he respond? With love to God. We need to be those who love God. Wholeheartedly loving God. It says in verse 9, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." In other words, God will see what I'm doing. I will walk before the Lord. And as I said, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to be a little bit like a herald for God coming. When people see me, when they see how I act, how I speak, how I think, how I behave, I'll be like a herald for the word of the Lord. I'll walk before the Lord, as if you're ushering in the presence of the Lord into the in amongst people. That's a challenge, isn't it? That when we're walking, when we're working, when we're doing going about our daily business, we're walking, as it were, before the Lord. The Lord sees everything we do. And if we are those who love God, we will act and speak and react in ways which will as it were, usher in the presence of the Lord wherever we are. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 13, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take up the cup of salvation, that cup perhaps which is overflowing, running over. And he says, well, I'm going to take that cup of salvation. And I think the inference is I'll not only drain it myself, or not only drink it myself, but I will take the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. And I get a sense that God is saying, I will call upon the Lord for those around me. Those I'm walking before, as I walk before the Lord in society, in the community that I'm placed in, I will take up that cup of salvation and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He's saying, whatever I've promised to God, whatever I've said to God, God, I will do this thing. I will do this thing that you've commanded me. I will fulfill it. How often do we make promises we don't keep? Sadly, I'm sure all of us, privately we say, that's me. I can certainly hold my hand up. There'll be times I've promised something and not fulfilled. But we make a promise to God. And the psalmist here says, I will fulfill the promises I've made, the vows I've made in the presence of all his people. There's going to be witnesses to see that I've fulfilled my promise. I've done what I promised to do, what I was called to do. I've done it in the presence of everybody, not to boast about it, but to show I have taken my commitment to God very, very seriously. And I have done what I promised. I've done what God has called me to do. And I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. It says that in verse 14. It says it again in verse 18. It's obviously something very important to him. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, I will offer up, verse 17, I will offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Isn't that our response? Shouldn't that be our response? When our cup runs over with the love of God, the security of God, the provision of God, the salvation that's come from God, surely our response is to lift the cup and say, thank you, Lord, my cup runs over and I'm coming back to you and I'm going to give thanks to you for all your goodness, all your grace, all your mercy. I'm so thankful you've chosen me. I'm so thankful I am now part of your family and a family that in which I will never be disowned by my Father in heaven. And one day, Father, I will see you face to face and I will know you even as I am fully known by you already. Surely that's our response. I hope and pray that as I've spoken of that cup that God has provided, the running over cup with all his provision for us, that your heart has been lifted. Maybe you can sing a song of praise in your home. Maybe it'll inspire you to write a psalm of your own of thanksgiving to God and name before God the things you're thankful for. Maybe it may be family, it may be health, it may be protection, it may be thankful for your job. Thankful you just got air to breathe, you've got water to drink, you've got food on your table, a roof over your head. Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. Give thanks for your salvation. Give thanks for your friends. Give thanks in all circumstances, for his love never ends. Hallelujah. Will you put that into action? Maybe this afternoon, find a place of quiet and sing a song of praise to God. Or write your own psalm. Write out the blessings of God that you've received and are receiving and will continue to receive from his gracious, loving hand. Amen. Can I pray with you before we go? Father, I pray that each of us will have that experience that David had of his cup running over with all the goodness of God in his life. Father, I pray that we will give thanks to you for your goodness. I pray that we'll have hearts and minds which will be able to speak and think of all the goodness that you have showered upon us day by day by day. Lord, may our lives reflect your goodness to the aching world that's needing your love at this time. May we be vessels that you can work through to bring your love and your grace and your mercy to those who need to hear of it and to experience it. And Father, if there are any who as yet do not know your love, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will speak those words of faith into their hearts that they might respond and give their hearts and lives to you, Jesus, that they might have new life, eternal life, as part of the wonderful family of God. Lord, truly our cup runs over with the great goodness you shower upon us. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, for there is none like you. I pray in the mighty name, the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening and look forward to meeting you again on these platforms and Facebook, YouTube, and until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.